Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Station. Dirt and Sprague.
And the 1-0. Swinging a ball. Crush to left. Going way back there. Good. Home run. The floodgates have opened for the Tigers. Baez, a two-run shot. Four here in the sixth. 7-3 Detroit.
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague.
Johnson still looking for his first points of the night. Stays in the
pass.
Flow. Give and go. He'll lay it up and in. Jan Johnson with his first bucket, albeit in a preseason game as a pro in the NBA. The 20-year-old.
Johnson.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
Not quite rainy yet,
no.
But it's a nice little chilly Thursday morning.
Feels like football weather for the first time,
way.
Does it not?
Just pad up.
The leaves are falling.
Fog them up, Sikorsky.
You walk out your front door, you see your breath. Ooh, it's a good feeling. Spooky season, football
feeling.
Season. October's the best, dude. I love October.
Yeah.
It's just the best. You can't beat it. It's just wonderful, delightful, amazing. Big fan of the month of October.
Hog him up, Sikorsky.
Absolutely.
I'll hog him up, Sikorsky.
How was everybody's Wednesday?
It was pretty good. Pretty good. Eh. Not you know, if your baseball team lost, probably not great.
Can we start walking Schwarber?
That was like his first game of getting a hit.
Yeah, and
his average was literally zero.
In the series until then, might as well keep throwing to him until he hits one out of the ballpark. And then he hit one out of the ballpark.
I shouldn't have asked that question because I knew he'd selfishly take over. When you're wearing a jersey that has your nickname on the back of it, you're never not going to become a selfish, it's all about me person.
I got fired up buying a Futures MVP ticket on Shaden Sharpe last night. Why not? Let's jump into the mix here, baby.
I mean, look.
Guy's cooking.
He is cooking. He's cooking with gas, evidently.
Contract year. You're going to get the best out of him. Here he comes. Are we going to regret only offering him $90 million after one preseason game? It was a nice little day of sports yesterday.
I was wondering if he was going to walk away and get 95 walking out of the building.
Just
and say,
right there.
There he goes.
Boom. Here's your contract. We're going to bump $5 million on top of this thing. You sign this. We'll make it
Jody's
a deal.
Jody's last move.
Giving him the deal.
Giving him the deal.
She gets final say still. Jody's still around. Jody, where you at? Jody, Bert, wake up. We got an MVP.
It's
got
to be weird to be a new owner and you walk in and you'd be like, hey, man, you have $200 million contracts on these books.
Yeah.
What?
Wait, what? I didn't sign anybody to a $100 million contract.
I owed him this money.
I got to pay him all this stuff.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you can't get out of these bad boys. They're not going anywhere.
Oh, man. It was a weird Wednesday for me because I had basketball practice with the girls.
Yes. Hoop season is here.
Well.
Never really ended, but
it was
now
the fall
it's back.
It's the fall season.
Fall season.
Fall ball.
Got it.
Fall ball.
So when does the real basketball season start?
Is this
the
like
real
early November?
Early November, okay,
like Halloweenish.
Okay, got it.
That's usually when the basketball
about November
starts.
Going into the winter months.
Yeah, so I had to have all the sports going on my phone.
Yeah,
minus the Blazer game. I got home and watched the. I saw the last 2 minutes of the second quarter, and then I watched going into the fourth quarter.
That's not too bad. So you got home in a relatively decent time.
Talk about no energy, no vibe. How about an NBA preseason arena?
That's not a lot of juice there, man.
It sounded like a high school gym of like an 0-15 high school team.
I had it. I did not have the sound up.
There was no, I mean, it didn't matter. There was no difference.
Yeah. I just wish I had the ability to watch it on an iPad because that would have been an iPad game for me and there was baseball stuff going on. Thankfully, the games, by the time everything was starting, were basically over. Like, the Phillies jumped on L.A. So you're like, all right, I can go big screen for this for a while. And we'll be okay.
Yeah, the Blue Jays just about had it wrapped up.
Yeah, that thing was almost over by the time the Blazer game started. So I kept an eye on it just in case it got wonky in the ninth inning and then watched most of the first half of the Blazer game last night.
Yeah, that's the only kind of hang up with it is like it's back to the two TV situation for me, not the iPad TV situation.
It's not good. If you get like a delightful Monday Night Football game going head to head against the Blazers, it's going to be a bit of a challenge because Monday Night Football is awesome and I love it and I don't want to lose it.
Got a doubleheader this week.
We do have a doubleheader on Monday Night Football this week.
We do?
We have another one. And it's one of those ones where they're going on at the same time, too. It's not like a stat. It's, you know, one game and then another game. It's one game and then like an hour later, the other game kicks off.
You're going to tell me I'm wrong on this because you're Mr. Schedule Man over there.
Bears and Commies, I know, is one of that's the second game.
I think Bills it's Buffalo. Falcons.
I feel like this
one.
Is more they've done this year than I've ever remembered having.
Well,
multiple
I'm guessing.
I agree with that.
Doubleheader. ESPN
I agree with that
and ABC said, "Hey, you're making us pay nearly as much as everybody else, and we're getting the shaft." So
can we get more games?
Can we?
You think Monday's
better?
Getting the shaft? Thursday's absolutely gotten the shaft the most.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I also think that ESPN pays a lot more for their deal with the NFL than Amazon does.
Well, I would argue Sunday night's also gotten some of the shaft. Like, after that Bills-Ravens game, we had a real stretch of garbage.
Yeah.
They got Lions-Chiefs this Sunday.
Yeah,
so.
They got a good one on paper, but, like, largely it's been kind of garbage.
It has. Yeah, last week ended up being a good game with New England and Buffalo, but on paper going in, we weren't. That was like, we'll see if New England can do anything. Wasn't super exciting going in. Ended up being a good game. Thursday Night Football has kind of been that way, too, where you're like, this game's going to suck, and then it comes down to the wire.
The other problem is it's Thursday Night Football, so there's always the potential of the teams not quite being all put together.
Right. We had 48 hours to prep for this.
After Ravens-Bills, we had Falcons-Vikings. Remember that one?
I do remember that one. Yeah. Nobody could get a first down the entire game.
22-6.
Yeah, that was ugly.
Then we had that Chiefs-Giants game.
That's right.
And I know it was exciting, but it ended in a tie, Packers-Cowboys, and we as Americans watching professional American football.
Yeah, we're out on that.
Hate the way that ends.
We're out on that.
You're a Nottingham Forest fan now, so you accepted it.
I said American football, not football.
As a European soccer fan, you're all about ties now. How many points do the Packers get for that tie?
You're embracing the spirit of competition.
What did that do to their tables in the NFC North? Did the tables shift after that tie?
It's not shaking it much.
Not shaking the
tables are out of whack.
Tables are out of whack now.
Also, as a Forest fan, if my team ties, I'm ecstatic because my team sucks.
Just get a point, baby. Get points.
Just get a point.
Play defense. Get one goal and then everybody compact defensively and just boot it back to the other end of the field.
Well, and it's not like you have to be in the 30s or 40s to make it a good game, but even that Pats-Bills game, it was 23-20.
Yeah, it's pretty low scoring.
Low scoring kind pretty of affair, a lot of three and outs, some weird turnover stuff. So, like, you know, outside of Ravens-Bills, Sunday night,
I mean, I'm not opposed to the doubleheader on Monday Night Football. Usually one game ends up being a dud anyway, so it kind of gives you that extra layer of security just in case, like Bills and Falcons being the first game. You tell me Buffalo wins that one, although we shouldn't trust them very much, but if that ends up being a dud, then at least you get another game to be like, all right, they're up by 17. Let's watch the other game.
The following week, we get another one, and it's a true doubleheader because the Seahawks have the late game at 7.
Oh, we're doing that again?
So, you see what I'm saying? This is more
it's
than
like
we
every
ever
week,
had.
Dude. This is constant.
I remember the beginning of the season having a doubleheader. And
always week one. There was one in the first week of the year, and that was basically it for Monday Night Football. And it was always Berman calling the second game.
You get the Bucks at Lions at 4 o'clock.
Ooh, that's a good game.
Texans at Seahawks at 7.
You're also just kind of killing my Sunday with these. I love having... Like, I don't like windows where there's two games going on.
Agree, completely.
Like, I like a balanced schedule here.
And it always gets out of whack. You get a huge chunk of games in the morning, and then in the afternoon there's like three or four games. And if two of those suck, then you're kind of ass out of luck.
I was running a drill last night with my team.
Move, pass.
I stopped them, and one girl was struggling with confidence, and I was like, do you think LeBron makes all his shots and has zero turnovers in practice? And she goes, well, no. And I was like, how does he do in the games? Well, pretty good. I go, yeah, he's debatably a one or two best player, you know, a great basketball player. I was just saying that, like, just as an example, quickly moving on.
Now's your time to learn lessons.
And a player interrupts me and goes, no, he's not.
Ooh.
And I went, what? Ooh, no, he's not what?
That'll get spring going.
He's not one or two.
Not even top 10,
go,
he's not clutch.
Excuse me?
Never took the final shot, always passed out of the big moment.
Yeah, never a game 7 in Miami against Kawhi Leonard in the Spurs.
Left flop.
Anyways, she says that just as like she's factually correct.
Yes.
And I said, I mean, okay, who is then?
Yeah, give me your Mount Rushmore, girl.
She goes, well, Michael Jordan.
Of course, number one.
And I go, you're 13 years old. you've never watched Michael Jordan play basketball. You're just going to say what your dad says. And she goes, no, I'm not. And I go, yeah, you are. And she goes,
he retired 25 years ago.
You got into a yes, you are, no, argument. You're not yeah. argument with
yeah,
a
13-year-old. No, you're not.
Girl.
Yeah, you are. I go,
you get spray going on LeBron. That'll do it. No. That'll do it to him. No, I went, Michael Jordan is great. Most people do consider him the best basketball player, but your dismissal of LeBron, I will not stand for. And she goes, well, it's Michael Jordan. And then maybe Steph Curry.
Yeah, I agree.
And I went, Steph Curry, the second best of all time? And she goes, yeah. And I go, well, your Michael Jordan take, you're just stealing from your dad. And right. Steph Curry either has kind eyes or he's the only real name that you see highlights of in basketball anymore.
What was their head-to-head record in the final, Sprague? Huh? Who got more rings in those matchups? Curry, better than LeBron.
So she tells me no again. And then she proceeds to, like, immediately after, she says, that's not why I'm saying that. She goes, but my dad says, and I go, thank
yeah,
you!
Yes. From my boy!
Thank you!
That's my whole argument!
And my daughter starts laughing because she's seen me get into these arguments before.
With other people.
And she knew that her friend was going to cite going. Her dad for having the opinion because she's 13 and she'd never watched Michael Jordan play.
That's been ingrained in the DNA. That's a big Michael Jordan family right there. You got to get that in the kids early.
When you're on YouTube, quit watching K-pop demons. Go see some archival footage there.
Yeah, but they won't. No, kids
they
don't watch sports like that.
No, they don't.
They're not even interested in the history. They just say what their dad says.
They don't care about 1998 NBA Finals or 1992 NBA Finals. They're out. They're out on all that, dude. We just know MJ's the GOAT. All right.
And then I got just a barrage of Steph Curry, and I'm like, oh man,
here we go.
It was like a 6-minute conversation. I'm like, you guys are wasting practice now.
This is our practice time.
We had to get back in
the
room. Do you
have just run lines after that?
That's it. Baseline now.
Baseline!
Whistle. Go. Again. You went Miracle. You went Herb Brooks and Miracle. Again. Again. For hours after practice last
Who
night.
Who do you play for?
Who's the GOAT? Say it. LeBron. Okay, you're done running now. Fine.
No, I didn't do that.
You didn't make him do that one? No.
I told him Michael Jordan is thought of as the best of all time. It was more the Steph Curry defense just popping up left and right. And I'm like, what?
No. Yeah, that one's a little funky. Why would that be your GOAT? Because if you're young, at least you've had the chance to watch.
All you've known is that name. You don't watch SportsCenter. You don't watch television anymore.
But LeBron at least is in like this era. It's not like they haven't seen LeBron or had the ability to watch LeBron. The Michael stuff's different because he retired he's been out of the league for a long time.
Yes.
He retired when we were kids.
2003.
Right? Long, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So you've never had the ability to even watch him to have a frame of reference on how good he is. Steph and LeBron's careers are at the same time. They've played in NBA Finals. Like, they're both still playing.
Yeah.
So if you're a kid, you have the ability to watch both of them.
Yeah, I know, but kids, man, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? That's what I'm trying to do with Teddy Ballgame, dude. I'm trying to brainwash that kid before he turns 3. All those sports takes got to be downloaded in that brain so they don't go anywhere.
I do. I think you've absolutely put him, like, you've baptized him into the duck cult.
Okay, let's talk about Akili Smith now, okay? And his touchdown run against USC late in the season in 1997.
Teddy, what'd you do this weekend? Would you like to share and tell? Yeah! Yeah, we watched game tape, Joey Arrington.
Keenan Howry returning a punt in the
Can't
Civil
wait
War.
For his first,
with Keith Jackson on the call. Oh, here comes Howry.
The Danny O'Neill years.
Teddy, what have you learned? Josh Wilcox is criminally underrated.
Totally agree, dude. He killed Penn State in that Rose Bowl. It wasn't his fault they lost that game. He was fantastic in L.A. That's absolutely going to be me as a
what
parent.
What are you
going
to be for Halloween, Teddy? Norm Van Brocklin.
Haloti Nata.
If you don't download all your sports takes on your kids, what are you even doing as a parent?
That's a good
point. What
are
you even
doing?
That's
a great point.
You got to brainwash him, man.
That's a good point.
Not many people want to listen to my sports takes, but he'll sit there and take all of them, all right?
And then put his hand in his pants.
That's right. And then check it out. Hey, I got poop on my fingers.
Poop! Poop! It's not my sports takes that made you do that.
Damn it, Teddy!
Well, we got a Josh Pate Thursday. He'll join us at 7:40. We got a Magic Hat Thursday as well. Let's start with Pucker Factor. Sayonara Yanks.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And hey, this one's still going on.
Ooh.
We'll start there. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this Thursday on 105.1 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This song just hits different the day after, doesn't it?
It feels great to hear it.
It's like a morning shower.
Bye-bye.
Stars spread in the news.
Yeah, I always think of the Yankees, or I think of New Year's Eve with this song.
Oh.
Yeah, Times Square.
Okay.
I think it's the first one they play, right? Don't they always play this at New Year's? And then
yeah,
they
right
do,
after
like,
the ball drops.
Yeah,
yeah.
New York first.
Unfortunately, the Yankees overtake that for this song for me.
That's why it's a fun way to listen to it now, because you know they shove it down your throat when they win. So when they lose, to turn it around on them, because it's a delightful song. I mean, it's Frank. Come on now.
Blue Jays secured their first ALCS trip yesterday, winning in New York. How'd the Schlittler do? Was he just untouchable?
No.
No, he was not. They got to him a little bit.
We are living, I love it, because we all cocky sniff in different ways. We all also have to admit when we're miserable as sports fans together. The noise I kept hearing about how amazing Schlittler was going to be and how this was going to be a win and they were going to go and push this to a game five. And didn't quite happen like that, did it?
No, it didn't.
He had 12 Ks and...
Did not have 12 K. I don't think he was the reason they lost, but he wasn't dominant
he wasn't
in the Red Sox
bad,
game.
But no. He wasn't.
He didn't shut him out.
Did not shut him out.
So that's not going to happen.
No.
The Blue Jays end up winning, going back to the ALCS since 2016, and the Yankee season is over. And according to our local Yankee fans, Aaron Boone won a game, so he's going to keep his job.
He'll stick around for another year.
He'll be back next year.
Bring him back.
But Toronto, I think the real story, all the jokes aside, the story is... God, Toronto looks amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the cooler story to me. It's not about... I mean, the Yankees losing will always put a smile on everybody's face, sans Yankees fans, because if you're not a Yankee fan, you hate them, and it's like watching Duke lose early in the NCAA tournament. Like, when Duke goes down in the first round or second round, it just brings Americans together in ways that not many things can, because we all enjoy watching them lose. The Yankees are in that same category. So that was a lot of fun. Dude, the Blue Jays deserve their flowers for the way that they've built their team, the way that they've locked up their guys. They've even had some of their guys that they've gone out and gotten years past who haven't done squat in the playoffs. Like George Springer has been kind of non-existent for them. But Vladdy has been the story. He's their
God,
phenom.
He's, MVP.
he's their biggest piece. Remember the whole thought going into the year was, will they get a deal done? Is he going to hit free agency? Does he want to stay in Toronto? They got enough to get the deal done, and boy, oh boy, do they look smart right now, because he was the dominant force in that series for them, and it's great to see them back in the ALCS. One of the more underrated sporting atmospheres, I think, in all of professional sports.
The Rogers Center.
Dude, when they're good and that place is jumping, and you think of like walk-off home runs of years past and Batista with the bat flip, like that's one of the coolest venues to get rocking, and it's going to be awesome in the ALCS.
So interesting movement. Not that this stuff isn't going to move again in a day or two, but yesterday I looked it up when the Mariners were up 3-0, and we'll get to the Mariners today. When the Mariners were up 3-0 in Detroit, I went and looked at DraftKings. They were the second favorite to win the World Series in all of the remaining teams in baseball. And now you look at it today, and obviously the Mariners losing is going to change those odds.
Right.
Toronto now is second.
Yeah. Dodgers number one still.
Still number one with plus 195. The Brewers are third at plus 500. The Mariners now are fourth. So they went from second to four with losing that game against Detroit. And Toronto, I believe yesterday Toronto. So I think Seattle and Toronto literally swapped places.
Yes.
So say what you want. I do think Toronto would be worthy of putting a bet on just because of how they're playing. They seem so confident.
Oh, for sure they would be, yeah. I mean, they're down to one of the final four teams, at least, in Major League Baseball.
Well, it's just such a tough, I think, situation. Like, I don't always buy momentum and, oh, it's here we go, the Yankees have figured it out. But I do think playing in Yankee Stadium, pivotal closeout game, guy on the bump that just had an outstanding rookie performance, like historical.
Yeah.
I think that spot can get a lot of teams, and they didn't allow it to get them.
No, I mean, we've seen, we talk about that with the Twins all the time, right? Like, what is their losing streak against the Yankees in the playoffs? There's a lot of teams that have that, where you face them, and it's just almost too much, and you can't overcome it. The other part of it is, and I'm not an American League East fan, but I'd imagine that this is the case for all of those teams in that division, where New York just, like, looks their nose down at everybody. Like, I remember times during the regular season, and we might even have played the audio on the show, of people, like, associated with the Yankees, whether it was Michael Kay or, you know, New York radio guys who were basically laughing at the idea of the Blue Jays being a first-place team. Like, they're not as good as us. Look at their numbers, their win-loss, their, you know, run plus-minus isn't as good as us. They're just winning one-score game. That's not a first-place team. I remember that being a takeaway late in the season as the Yankees were trying to chase them down and win the division. And you know that kind of stuff sticks with Toronto. And so you want to snuff your nose at them, the team that ended up winning, tied for you with the most wins in the American League. They win the division because of a tiebreaker, and now they eliminate you in the playoffs. Winning in the playoffs is great, but if you're in that division with the Yankees, beating them in the playoffs is just even as sweet as you could imagine.
The Cubbies extended the series against the Brew Crew.
They did. That was a good game.
They got out of a couple jams there. There was a bases loaded situation when the Brewers were down one run. They got a strikeout. Great atmosphere in Wrigley. There was no doubt about that, but extended that series. It's another series that, like, honestly, I don't know how to feel about the Cubbies' chances to push that to five.
And winning three in a row is hard. We gave the numbers on, what is it, 10 times out of 50 or 60 or whatever.
90% of the time, the team going up 2-0 wins the series. So you have that stat, and Toronto's just added to it. But the thing about the Cubbies and the Brewers series, you might not feel confident, unless you're a Cubs fan, of the Cubs' ability to push this to five and win. But also, the Cubs continue to score in the first inning.
They keep jumping on them right out of the gate.
And yesterday, they finally able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, finally built a lead, and they were able to hold on to it the rest of the way.
But it was still a pretty tight game. Brewers had their chances, couldn't quite capitalize, but the Cubbies extend that game to four.
That ended up being a really interesting game. Most of the games yesterday, Sands, Dodgers, Phillies, which kind of ended up being a bloodbath. Same with the Mariner game, I guess, late. But most of the games ended up being pretty interesting, and that was one of them yesterday. I also think if you're a Brewer fan, this isn't fair to the current team because they have nothing to do with it, but their postseason history has to be in the back of your mind.
Oh, yeah,
like, what
dude.
Are the Brewers known for? Yes. They're known for falling short in these moments. They build a 2-0 lead. You have a chance to eliminate a team. Like, I think the Brewers will still win the series. It's just incredibly hard to win three in a row, especially against the arms that Milwaukee has, and then Game 5 will be back in Milwaukee if they do win Game 4. Mm-hmm. But there's just that thought in the back of your mind if you're a Brewer fan of, like, come on, man, just one more one. Come on. Come on. Because they've been to one NLCS that I remember. They played the Dodgers in an NLCS one of the years the Dodgers went to the World Series. I want to say they lost in five or six in that series. So they've won. It's not like they lose every time they go. They're not quite Twins level bad in the playoffs, but they're kind of in that same category. And just one more win to not make you sweat it out. The other part of this, too, is the fact that getting that extra day of rest, being able to reset your rotation, like Toronto was able to do that with the win. Now they got to wait and see who they're going to play, but they're going to be fully ready to go for Game 1, every card in their deck, if you will. And so I think Milwaukee, you want to try and get that out of the way. Win the series, get it over with, make sure everything's reset going into Game 1 of the NLCS.
Swag, you have 30 seconds. Pucker factor is at what for you? Your team got bludgeoned and embarrassed last night.
3.5, 4.
Still pretty confident then.
Didn't fully expect to sweep the Phillies. They're too good.
It's a tough team.
There's a lot of bats in that lineup, man.
And I'm going to give you a scorching hot take. I think those unis are incredibly ugly.
The powder blues?
Oh, I think those are
the baby blues? You don't like the baby blues?
The minute I saw them crack those out.
Is that an NL East thing? Just hatred of the Phillies?
That was like superstitious. I was like, oh, crap.
Crimson red with.
They pulled those out.
With that color blue. Looks gross.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think those are the best of the powder blue. All the powder blues back from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Like better than the Royals, better than the Blue Jays.
Better than the Chargers?
No, just in baseball.
Oh,
in baseball.
Yeah, that's a bad take.
Yeah. I'm with
better than the Cardinals.
One. Yeah. Bad the Cardinals takes. Have a very similar baby blue.
Yeah, there's a bunch of teams that went baby blues there in the 70s, early 80s.
It's kind of the theme of the decade.
And I thought the Phillies were by far
cocaine.
The best.
Makes you do weird stuff.
I think that's also when the Portland Beavers were the Phillies AAA affiliate, too.
Oh, I didn't know we were the Phillies AAA
affiliate.
Yeah,
we were the Pirates.
Wow. Why and the hell would we have been the Phillies AAA?
Bounce around, dude. Those AAA ballparks or clubs change hands all the time.
They're flying from Portland to Philly in the 70s
to get called up, and I got to go across the country.
Son of a dude got called up on the West Coast road trip.
Yeah. Wait till we're out in Anaheim, and then we'll call your ass up to the big leagues.
Yeah, I know it's a bad take for many. I didn't like them. I just think
gross. I saw those. I was like, uh-oh.
They look like shag carpet from the 70s. I see it, and I go, God, we got to rip that right out.
Those were the jerseys they won the 1980 World Series in.
100%. I get it. I'm wrong here. I'm telling you at the front of this.
You're on your own. You're on your own on this take. But
you like those.
You're standing 2 feet, though, at least. Yeah, I love the baby blues.
It's like looking at it. To me, it's like going in a friend's basement and they have wood panel walls. I'm like, God.
Throwback, dude.
Paint this or rip it down. Come on. Do something different.
We need some modern tile. Get out of here.
I don't know why. I don't like it. I don't like that powder blue. I don't like that crimson. I just that combination. It's not just that I hate the Phillies, because I do.
Yeah.
I actually think the Phillies regular home unis are sick.
I was having this text debate with buddies the other night in our group chat of the best baseball hats. Like you're, everybody's going to pick their team because they love their hat, right? Phillies were one of them for me. I love the red hat with the white. Just a clean look.
The Phillies
are in the Pirates with the yellow, three yellow stripes around.
Yeah, that's a good one. I put modern Pirates into the conversation, too.
Those were classic.
Oh, you like those?
The Kent Tecolvies.
No, thank you. He's an old school guy.
The Willie Stargells, man.
I like old school stuff. I'm just telling you the old school stuff that's ugly.
I think my top three were Phillies, Pirates, and White Sox were my top three hats.
Sox is, you know, this is the thing. Like, this is my point. I can hate something and admit that it's nice. Cowboys football pants.
Cowboys have incredible uniforms.
I don't know what color. They made a color up.
That white uni that we're wearing this weekend in New York with the blue star on the shoulder pads, just perfection.
Who wasn't jealous if you weren't a Cowboy fan of the blue with the shoulder pad from the 90s?
Yes, everybody was.
I hated that I liked it. I'm like, God, I hate this team.
I almost rooted for the Little Giants or the Cowboys and Little Giants. Those unis were so clean.
Exactly.
Emmett's in the movie. Kind of on Spike's side here.
The Yankee has to be in the top three.
Yeah, Yankee.
NY is just iconic.
It's iconic. There's a lot of great baseball hats. That was why it was a fun debate. We were having that.
So what were your three? The Phillies?
My three were Phillies, Pirates, and White Sox.
Standard yellow pea?
I like the standard yellow pea. I like that pirate hat. I like the colors combo, the black and the yellow. Yellow pops off of the black. I'm a big fan. I like the pea.
More than my little A, huh?
More than your little A. I'm not a little A guy.
Oh.
Not a little A guy.
Not a Bama
A? I'm
a
capital A guy.
Are you?
I'm more of a capital A guy than I am a lowercase A guy.
We'll get back into baseball. Are Mariner fans nervous? Because I heard one Mariner fan on this radio station just absolutely cocky-sniffing.
They should be.
Oh, who was cocky-sniffing yesterday?
Who do you think?
Schultzy? Schultzy cocky-sniffing?
Like, loudly.
Like, this is over?
Like,
when was he doing this?
They owned Scooble all of a sudden.
Once it went final and we knew it was Scooble, he was like, we own him.
Oh, no.
Portland Mariner fan, very different than Seattle Mariner fan. That's all I'll say about that. We'll get into that. Magic Hat Time is next. All right, let's get to the Magic Hat. It's the Magic Hat.
Yeah, baby!
Bring it on. Basically, a bunch of topics,
and
we have no idea where the sports gods want us to go.
Okay.
Until Swag pulls it out of his magic hat.
Hocus pocus, where are you?
Now you see me, now you don't.
It's magic.
It's simply what it is. It's magic. We don't know what's going to come out of this hat.
Where is that rabbit?
Abracadabra, MFers. Let's do the magic hat.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All right, welcome back in. It's Magic Hat Thursday. We'll get to Josh Pate at 7:40 today. Ask this question for the top of the hour because we usually Magic Hat for two segments. Why is there no juice? Why is there no juice?
I'm a big juice guy.
Me too.
Give me some Welch's grape juice.
I don't buy juice and I don't drink juice, but I love juice.
Whenever I get the opportunity to drink juice, which I have at all times, but I'm the same. I don't buy a lot of it. I get very excited. Like, you go out to breakfast, you get a nice glass of orange juice.
Yeah,
it's a good
feeling.
If you're
at a hotel that has the continental breakfast included.
I'm pounding some juice.
I got the cranberry and the orange and the apple.
My only problem with the orange juice, I don't order at restaurants because my glass isn't big enough and you don't get free refills and it's like $7.99
refill.
Water, please.
Like I said, if you're staying at a hotel where the breakfast is included in the
Yeah, but that's
thing.
Concentrated juice from a machine. I love fresh orange juice.
You like
that's
the best.
Oh, no, they've got it out in the carafes and
Not the hotels.
Squeeze that juice for me.
Yeah.
Get those oranges working.
No, you know, but like the machine concentrated juice is different than like the container juice. Fresh.
Not the same at all.
Freshly squeezed.
All right, where are we going to start on the Magic Hat?
Let's see. How much does this coach hate him?
I mean, we already kind of knew this, but let's just say it out loud. Kevin Stefanski hates Shedeur Sanders, right?
He must.
Certainly feels like it, yeah.
He refuses to name him the backup. Everybody's indicating Bailey Zappi, who was on their practice squad.
Dude, Bailey Zappi, moment in time.
How many starts did he get in New England when he was there?
He got a few.
Like a half a season or something?
It kind of felt that way.
He was the all-time leading passer in college football, was he not? Like, he was one of those kind of guys or had one of the best seasons ever?
Well, I just, like, again, here we go. More evidence that team didn't want to draft him and they were forced to by the owner because this coach clearly hates him. And that's okay. He knows quarterbacks. He knows football.
Exactly.
He must not trust what he's seeing. It's just...
I'm so curious what's going on. Like, if I could go to any NFL practice, I would want to go to that practice to see
what's happening.
What is going on at that practice?
I want to go to the film sessions because that's where this stuff clearly is showing itself the most, right?
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I think teams were hesitant to draft him, just the fear of it's going to be a distraction. Like, that's what we talked about going into the draft. You don't want your backup quarterback to be a distraction.
Be a backup anywhere.
Because everybody would start chanting Tebow the second your starting quarterback had a bad game or a bad drive, even though Tim Tebow sucked, and we all knew that he sucked, but that's still what the fans would chant. And so Shedeur has a bit of that vibe. Zappi, by the way, 2 years ago in New England, it looks like he started about 7 games for them in the back half of the year. So he's got a little bit of experience. I didn't even know he was on Cleveland's roster. I saw this headline yesterday.
Well, he's practice squad elevated.
Right. I'm like, Stefanski hesitant to name Sanders QB2, and I'm like, do they have any other quarterbacks? And then, yeah, there's Bailey Zappi. Come on down. Some of the stuff he said, you know, going into camp, the miming an interview, like he's not doing a lot to help himself instead of just kind of shutting up, doing his job.
I'm not defending him here.
Oh, I know.
I think it's evident the coach hates him.
I think he wanted nothing to do with Shedeur Sanders, and that was a pick by the owner to say, this will sell some jerseys.
They're doing debates in Cleveland sports radio right now. Who deserves to start for Cleveland, Deshaun or Shedeur?
God.
I mean, you guys are in a bad spot right now, man. Dang. You guys are in a low, low spot. But we'll see what Dylan does.
Who's the MVP front runner right now, or one of them? Their former star quarterback, who they used a number one overall pick on, and then gave up on because they made him play through an injury.
And then when he underperformed, they said, we don't want you. We want the weird guy from Houston.
Let's give up all of our stuff for Deshaun Watson.
Is Dirt scurred?
Oh, am I scurred?
I wrote scared, not scurred.
Scurred is cooler than scared,
but
though.
I do like that you made that scurred.
Scurred.
Yeah, I saw this. I got kind of sad. I read her book last year, actually, on my birthday as a weekend getaway. Dolly Parton's sister came out and basically said, please think of my sister.
Total fake news.
Well, I saw this morning that she says, I ain't dead yet.
Yeah, she released a video today, like doing a thing where she's sitting down being like, I'm still alive.
I know, but
Dolly,
her sister didn't...
or Dolly's sister?
From Dolly herself.
So Dolly's sister came out and said, please think of my sister. Oh, okay. She's dealing with some health issues. She's not doing great. And everybody's antennas went, oh no.
Uh-oh.
And then she came out today and was like, I ain't dead yet, darling. And, like, I get you can do a video, but if the sister's saying that, and by the book, I'm just going off what I read.
Going off of the book.
There are... pretty good family that grew up in the backwoods and had nothing but each other.
Dude, she's an insane story,
She's a great story.
Yeah. One of the few down-to-earth stars who has been in the spotlight for 50 years,
and largely stands for nothing but let's support people, let's help each other out, let's love love one another. Like, she's truly an icon.
Yes, nothing polarizing about her.
And so I saw this, and I got kind of sad, and I thought, she's a country artist.
Yes.
My guy Dirt is an urban cowboy.
Dude, Jolene, one of the greatest country songs of all time. You guys know the song Jolene?
Jolene.
Jolene's it. I mean, that song? That's a good song? Non-country guy?
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that song? Thank you. Yeah, I love Dolly Parton. I did see this, and I got a little scared the other day. And then the sister had to come out and add a statement being like, no, everything's all right. And then he was like, well, then why are you asking for prayers?
Yeah, when you say that way, it kind
of she releases the video of like, I'm still alive. I'm like, she is 80, so she's, you know, we're getting close. We're getting close to the finish line for Dolly. Her husband just passed away recently. I'm hoping Dolly hangs on for a little bit longer because I love me some Dolly Parton.
All-time underrated marriage, too, because she was super big, you know, famous person. We knew nothing of her husband because their relationship was of the most private you could possibly have.
Guy just married her when they were young, and they stayed married forever, and you never knew the guy's name, never knew what he looked like. He was just always in the background, hanging out.
No, like, rumors about Dolly Parton cheating on him.
Nope.
Like,
infidelity, none of that stuff, man.
No.
Big Dolly Parton fan. I'm
so
glad
you were
she's
scared.
Still good. When I initially saw it, I was scared. Because when you ask for prayers, like, yeah, dude, that's where your mind goes. Mm. Thankfully, she's okay. For now, Dolly's still standing.
More Magic Hat next on 105.1 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Something. Now you see me, now you don't.
It's magic.
The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
All right, let's get back into the Magic Hat. I just saw our Twitter account, at Dirt and Sprague. You can go vote there, by the way, because I put up a poll question. Are you a fan of your sport or sports teams because of your dad, yes or no?
Hmm.
One person saying, me choosing my dad's team, the Padres, when I was five, and everybody else choosing a good team going the other way of him. That's pretty funny.
Seems like a great idea when you're a kid. Now you're stuck with it.
Our Queen of Dongs, Lucy, saying, yes, I am a fan of the teams because of my dad. Yeah. So you can vote at Dirt and Sprague there. Also had a fan, not a fan, a sports fan, but a sports fan, but somebody, a fan of the Blazers, tweet us last night. I'm watching this game in Mississippi. No excuses tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Go Blazers. We will get to the Blazers today.
We will. I watched the whole first half last night.
I watched the very end of the first half and then the entire third quarter.
It was on the second screen the entire game, and then when the
I mean, it gets to
over.
A point for that game, too, with the guys in
it's
the lineup.
Preseason.
You're like, all right.
100%.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
Enough.
We will get to it. And then also top of the hour, why no juice? Feels like there's no juice available. So we'll get to that top of the hour.
Let's get back into the Magic Hat. Will he finally take over?
Yeah, dude. So last night was funny. I'm watching SportsCenter. I was watching the end of the baseball stuff. Even though I knew the Phillies had beaten the Dodgers, I watched all the way to the end. I have read three articles now, and I'm watching SportsCenter kind of chuckling, going, ha, ha, dirt. It's in your life again. Because I saw Ace Bailey highlights.
The NBA
is back, baby.
Kevin Durant talking trash to him. I saw those highlights.
He looked good as a rookie. But I'm watching some NBA highlights, and I read three different pieces. The most recent one I read is from The Athletic about everything Victor Wembanyama went through this offseason. He has reached psycho mode. He is tired of not winning. He couldn't stay healthy. He was abruptly cut from playing last year because of his blood flow issue.
Yeah, the blood clots are always scary.
By all accounts, he's got these quotes coming out. He's like, yeah, I've passed up shots to get other people involved. I'm done. I just want to ask, would you guys bet that this is takeover season for Wemby finally, where he plays almost a full season? He's going to win DPOY if he does stay healthy all year.
Yeah, what's the minimum number of games you got to play to win that? Like 68?
65?
65.
60-something.
But
if he hits that, he'll win DPOY.
Yeah. Well, I'm also curious. He's got the reigning rookie of the year in Castle. He just drafted a rookie that people really are high on in Harper. He's
looks
got
like
De'Aaron
Fox.
He was
able to put on a little weight without losing any of his agility or mobility.
Dude, he went to China for a tour, promotional tour. He basically became a karate guy. He just took karate classes everywhere. He plays soccer, as filmed on social media. Like, he's really taken a serious step in his mind this offseason. Would you guys bet that Wemby steps to the fold?
Yeah.
You're betting yes?
He'll take over that team this year.
No. He already owns the team.
Oh,
yeah, he's
the
guy. Yeah.
Are they going to jump
in the mix
in the West this year and be in a conversation for people?
I don't know if they have enough, all the right things around him. They still need to. He didn't play enough with all those guys last year to get it.
Yeah, him and Fox didn't play a lot together.
All symbiotic.
Because he only played 46 games last year, and Fox came somewhere around that area.
So I think they just need some time to figure each other out so that it's comfortable and smooth. And when they do that, then they'll be scary. So they might go on a second half run. I think it still might be a little glitchy early on.
The only question I have is health. If the answer is yes, he's healthy, then the answer to your question is yes, he will take over.
Because
the answer is no, because that was the only fear about him coming out, is he's just, you're not supposed to be that big, doesn't really work that way. Now, he played 71 games a rookie in year two as a blood clot thing, not like a knee
I know,
or an
it
ankle
wasn't
issue.
A near,
it was kind of a
Achilles,
random thing, but that's my only question. Is he available for 70 games? And if he is, he will be one of the five best players in the league.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with that. The other part I would add, too, is I guess I should have framed that better. I don't think they're a contender, but can they be the sixth seed?
Yes.
Yes.
And become a sixth
seed? Without a doubt in my mind,
God,
they can.
I wouldn't want to play them.
Without a doubt in my mind, he's that good.
I think, I think they might come out of the block slow because they're trying to sort it all out and get comfortable, and then once they figure out what they're doing on the floor.
The Harper-Fox-Castle thing is interesting to me, of just how that's going to work and how they figure their minutes out. Remember, they got, I know he took over last year because of the stroke, but remember, their coach now, he's the permanent coach. He's the guy in charge. I want to remind people, before he got hurt, or before the blood clot, he was like a minus 20,000 to win DPOY.
Yeah, I mean, he was like 11 rebounds a game, 4 blocks a game.
It wasn't a
conversation. Just insanely good defensively, which we all knew that he would be, and his offensive game has been really good and can only get better.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have time for any more, so this might be our last one because I want to get to the top of the hour. Did you see a report that came out yesterday? So a 60-year-old woman had a massive heart attack while on the ride, the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland.
What?
And I'm just asking you guys, as sad as that is for the family and people involved.
I'm assuming she passed away?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Pronounced on the scene.
Yeah.
So, like...
That's horrible.
Probably a real... What do you tell your kids if they are to see something like this unfold? That ride, it's very dark in there. I don't know if you guys have been on the Haunted Mansion ride.
That would be the only hope, is that they don't really know what's going on, that there's a scream because everybody's screaming on the ride, or there's a noise that's made, but people make noises on roller coasters, and you just like...
You know the Tilt-A-Whirl ride?
Yeah.
You know how that's like kind of a cupped bench?
Yeah.
That's kind of what you're sitting in on the Haunted Mansion, so you don't always see the person in front of you or behind you.
Right. That I would just try and put blinders up and get out of there as quickly as I can, just to not have to deal with it with my kids, because I don't know what you say to your kids.
I don't either.
Are they going to be traumatized for roller coasters the rest of their life?
Well, that's the thing. It's not a roller coaster.
I know, but any sort of ride or theme park, like that is going to be an associated thought, one of one, that's going to go together in their mind the rest of their lives.
I know you're anti-Disney, but when we went, we were trying to be strategic. And so we'd be like, what's the first ride we want to hit? Is it the Star Wars ride because the line's going to get dumb? Or do we start slow at Peter Pan?
Mm.
And I wondered how many people chose... Let's start with a Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, let's go. It's spooky season.
9 a.m.
Haunted Mansion ride.
I don't know what time the lady passed away, but like a
first ride of the day.
First ride of the day.
You're spending $20,000 for a week at Disney because you got to sell a kidney just to spend a couple of nights down there.
Terrible.
And that's your first memory. That's an awful story. Terrible timing.
All right. Well, we didn't get into all the Magic Hat stuff, but that is the Magic Hat for Thursday, October 9th.
Well done.
Thank you. Loaded second hour of the program. I want to kick it off. We'll have Josh Payton 740. Why is there no juice? What's up with no juice? Hour number two, Dirt and Spring. 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.